bring you through. What a blessing to know Jesus is going to take care of you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for the presence of the Lord in this house today. We welcome all of you here to Harvest. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. It's so good to have all of our guests with us today. If you are a guest here at Harvest, we do have a guest reception immediately after service. It'll be in our fellowship hall back to my left, and we would love for you to stop by and visit with you just for a few moments and welcome you and put a name with the face and all of that. And we do have a gift for you as well. So thank you for stopping by our guest reception. I do just have one brief announcement today. On Saturday, this Saturday, everybody say this Saturday, at 9 a.m., we have a special team building opportunity. Does anybody know what it is? Church cleaning. It's springtime. Come on, you ought to be excited about that. It's springtime. It's spring cleaning around here at Harvest. And at 9 a.m. Saturday, we're going to be gathering together, and there'll be teams working all over this campus. And we're excited about the springtime, but we want to make sure everything's nice and updated and get rid of cobwebs and mildew and all those things and leave winter behind and get everything smelling nice and fresh. And so we do need your help. We do need your help. All the young people say, Pastor needs my help. All right, all of those that are young at heart say, Pastor needs my help. We'll see you Saturday at 9 a.m. Amen. The more help that we get, we'll get out of there early and have an early lunch. Praise the Lord. Today is Mission in Motion Commitment Sunday. This is Commitment Sunday. And we're thankful for the journey that God has brought us upon this last now 2 years as we've kicked off the Mission in Motion Capital Stewardship Campaign. And we're so appreciative of God moving us forward into the next level that He has in store for us as a church and for this city. And we're excited about all that God is going to do. Amen. Today, you should have received, when you came in, you should have received an envelope and also a commitment card. Commitment card. We want you to be thinking about that. Hopefully you've had your chance to have your family meeting or attend one of our small groups, and you've gone through the six areas of the miracle equation: disposable income or cash reserves, disposable assets, monthly giving over 18 months, personal sacrifice, fundraising, miraculous provision. And so at the end of service today, we're going to be committing these to the Lord that for the next 18 months, by faith, we're going to seek God help us to take the mission in motion through our giving to the Capital Stewardship Campaign. I do want to mention today that if you'll help us out under the monthly giving section, if you can figure out, if you use all your fingers and may have to use some toes or whatever, but if you can figure out the total amount, if you're going to give $100 a month over 18 months, then put $1,800 down there for us. That way there's no question about, is this a monthly commitment or is this the total commitment? If you could put the total commitment, so if it's $100, just do 100 times 18, or if it's $10,000 a month times 8, or whatever it is, okay? Just put that amount times 18 and then total that up for us. And we're going to receive these in a special manner at the end of the service today. I do want to mention that this does take the place of our previous commitment. Some of you have been faithful in giving since the start of the campaign, and if you want to just recommit the same amount, that's great. There may be some that you wish to change your amount, or there may be some that you have not made a commitment at the first, and so this will be for this next 18 months, okay? So this does not reflect on anything you did in the past. This is commitment going from here forward, okay? And so we're thankful for what God is doing, and we're excited about moving forward. Praise the Lord. Right now, we do have a special video for you. And I appreciate our team putting this together, and it's going to give us just a little recap of our vision, and hopefully this will be a blessing to you. If you missed last week's service, this is going to give you a synopsis of that.
Welcome to Harvest Ministries. We are excited about everything that God is doing here as we endeavor to be a church that loves God, is growing in faith, serving others, and going out from the central location to change our world. The city of Springfield has a population of close to 170,000 people. The metro area has almost 550,000 people. At Harvest, we have a burning desire to reach as many souls as we can with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Just under 2 years ago, we started an exciting journey forward with our capital stewardship campaign called the Mission in Motion. What a very rewarding experience for our church as God focused our vision for the future. Our passion has also expanded as we're becoming a church that's truly focused on others. It has been so rewarding already to see the incredible miracle in reducing our debt from over $420,000 to under $240,000. For us to be able to reach more of the souls of this area, we've identified three phases of the Mission in Motion. Phase one is debt reduction and current building updates. By continuing to reduce our debt, we are ensuring a brighter future by opening doors for ministry and building expansion projects. Also, our current building has served us very well, but certain updates are needed. One example is our church entrance. The foyer and restrooms, they need a facelift to create a greater impact on our guests when they first enter our building. We only have one opportunity to make a great first impression, and we want to do the best that we can. Phase two is to expand by adding a family life center. We will build a new gymnasium and commercial kitchen, which will offer many opportunities for all ages and will be connected to our current facility. This new family life center will also serve temporarily as a larger auditorium when we outgrow our current sanctuary. This important expansion will give us space to continue growing while being good stewards of our resources. Phase three will be an exciting expansion with a new worship center that will greatly enhance our ministry potential. After we complete the first two phases, we're believing for a two-story facility on the east side of our current building with a sanctuary seating 600 plus, dedicated space for prayer room and guest reception, enhanced student ministry facilities, and an office suite with a conference room and team meeting areas. These expansions will exponentially affect our ability to minister to more souls in the city of Springfield and the surrounding area. Our three-phase plan will let us complete renovations, continue with debt reduction, and prepare for future expansion. This plan is simply good stewardship. Over the next 18 months, we will see this vision unfold of being able to impact as many souls of Southwest Missouri as possible. We like to say that this capital stewardship campaign is about souls. It truly is about others. The Mission in Motion is something that we can all be a valuable part of. It's not equal giving, but it is equal sacrifice. I encourage you to attend all three of our special refocus services and to meet with your family or attend one of our Mission in Motion small groups to go over how you can best participate in all six of the areas of the miracle equation as we move forward to the destiny that God has for us. Thank you for being a valuable part of the Mission in Motion.
I want to thank Brother Brent Bowling and Brother Sean Forgy for helping us with that. They did a great job. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Word of the Lord today. Amen. If you'd stand with me, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 1, and I believe that God is giving us direction forward, and we are patterning these three services based on the tabernacle plan that God gave Moses in the Old Testament. And so it has been interesting to study and to see some of these things that I've never quite seen before. And I pray that it'll be an encouragement and something exciting to us here today. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, oil for light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I shall show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. All right, now if you'll turn over to Exodus chapter 26, we want to read verse 31 through 34. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and of purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. Amen. Today I want to preach to you on this subject, a heavenly veil. A heavenly veil. Would you ask God just to minister and move here today and challenge us and strengthen us? We thank you, Lord, for your presence and your spirit. We pray, God, that you would work in every life and every heart. I pray, God, that you would give us direction forward as we're trusting you, as we're believing, God, for great things, for your work to be done. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage every life. I pray, Lord, that you would establish us here so that we can accomplish your great work in this city and in the area beyond. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Last week in our vision service, we preached about the forward-moving pattern that's found in the tabernacle plan, and how that relates to the pattern and the plan that God has for us at Harvest in moving forward. Everything in the tabernacle, all the way from the outer court, all the way into the Holy of Holies, it was all about moving forward. The outer court, it was a barrier of separation. Its walls were made by curtains that were over 10 feet high. There was just one way in to the outer court. It had to go through the gate there at the east end. When you entered the outer court, the first thing to greet the eye was the brazen altar. It was ever burning with the fire that God had sent from heaven. And as the first thing there in the tabernacle, the altar represents the fact that if we are to approach God, we must bring a sacrifice. Then was the brazen laver of water for washing. And then going from there, from the outer court into the sanctuary, we find the candlestick, the table of showbread, and then the golden altar of incense. Separating the sanctuary from the Holy of Holies was a thick veil, which we read about in our text today. And beyond that veil was just one piece of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant. It was the most sacred piece in all of the tabernacle because it was the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. God had told Moses, "Make me a sanctuary and I will dwell among them." He laid out all of the intricate instructions and very precise details, and he commanded Moses to build it exactly according to the pattern that he had given him. Why were all of those details so important? I believe it's because God said that I will dwell there among them. And God intended through the fulfillment of the tabernacle to be present there with his people like he had never been at that point before. And I believe that today God is particular about where his Spirit dwells. Amen. We should never take the presence of God for granted. We should never treat it lightly. We should never just assume that we're always going to have the Spirit of God in our lives if we don't live a life that's pleasing unto him. The suitable dwelling place for God is one that reflects the pattern that was given to Moses. And all of the details in the plan, it meant that the tabernacle was an earthly symbol of something that was much greater. It was something here on earth in a physical form, but it pointed to a greater heavenly reality. And everything in the tabernacle, it pointed forward. The sacrifice made at the altar, it made it acceptable to come before the presence of God. The laver of water, it cleansed you as you approached God's presence. The candlestick lighted your way. The bread gave sustenance to approach the Ark of the Covenant. The altar of incense prepared the heart in praise in approaching the Holy of Holies. Every vessel, every service of the priest, they all pointed forward. It was in the pattern that God laid out in how to reach His presence. Every piece of furniture was significant. Every step was important, but they all pointed forward. And so in our planning in the last month or so, we felt so strongly that God's plans for harvest are that He wants to bring us forward. And so, yes, thank God for the miracles of the past, and thank God for great moves of His Spirit that are in the history of this church, but His calling is fresh and it is new, and it's calling this generation today forward. You see, everything in the past, it had a place, it had a purpose, it fit into the pattern and the plan of God. But His desire is that for each of us would experience present and future revival. God is not finished with what He started. But I want to tell you today, if He began a good work in you, He is able to complete it. He is able to take you all the way through. He is able to provide all the way until He comes. Come on, somebody. God's not finished with you yet. If there's still breath in your lungs, then God still has a work for you to do. God still has a purpose for you. God has something great for your future. Hallelujah. Come on, don't you listen to the lie of the enemy that says God is finished and God can't do it, or God can't use you, or God won't bring revival, and He can't bless this church, and He's done working. Oh, no, I tell you, God's got a plan here today, and we're going to follow His plan forward. Hallelujah. The tabernacle is basically a series of curtains and coverings which were stretched over a framework built of boards. The curtains covering the entire structure were made of fine linen and colored thread. The first layer of curtains was covered on the outside by a second layer that was covered by goat's hair to protect from the elements. Apparently, there were two more layers, one of ram skins and one of badger skins. And the curtains were then held together by systems of clasp and hooks that were made of brass and silver. The three-part structure of the tabernacle. It was the outer court, it was the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. That three-part structure, it all represented forward movement. All three of the entrances into the tabernacle, the gate into the outer court, the veil, or the door into the sanctuary, and then the veil before the Holy of Holies, all three of those entrances were made of the same material. It was made of fine linen with blue and purple and scarlet thread woven into it. And before you could enter the curtain that made the gate, you had to bring a sacrifice. Before the priest could enter through the curtain door into the sanctuary, the sacrifice had to be put on the altar, and they had to be washed. And then before the high priest could enter through the veil into the Holy of Holies, he had to carry the blood of atonement that he would place there upon the mercy seat. What was the significance of this veil before the Holy of Holies? It was a symbol of God's presence. It was a symbol of the heavenly. It represented the separation between the earthly and the heavenly. It represented a separation from God's presence because God had told Moses that no man can see me and live. The curtain before the Holy of Holies, it veiled the presence of God. How amazing that God Himself, He robed Himself in flesh. And in the flesh of Jesus Christ, He revealed God to man. But in that flesh, it also still veiled Him from full view. You remember how Peter and James and John were on the mountaintop with Jesus, and all of a sudden there before their eyes, he was transfigured. He was changed, and his face shone as the sun, and his clothes were as white as light. And there on the mountaintop, for just a few moments, the veil was lifted, and that light shone ever so brightly. It was not light from any earthly source, but it was a heavenly light. It was brighter than anything they'd ever seen before. They caught a glimpse of his glory. Today we are blessed to be called into that light. 1 Peter 2:9 declares, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I want to tell you today, I'm so thankful that God reached to every one of us who were living in darkness. And he said, "I want to reveal myself to you. And I want you to catch a glimpse of the light of my glory as I change you and I call you forward out from your past, out from your failure, out from the darkness that bound you. And I want you to step forward into the light." Hallelujah. The veil separated man from the presence of God. And day by day, the priests, they would minister in the outer court. They would enter into the holy place, the sanctuary, and go about their priestly duties. But it was only one day of the year that one man, the high priest, would enter into the Holy of Holies. The high priest could enter not because of how good he was, not because of any earthly power, but only because of the blood of atonement that he carried and allowed him to enter there into that heavenly veil of separation into the very presence of God. And when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was rent. It was torn from the top to the bottom. It was ripped supernaturally. The veil was not opened by any efforts of man, but it was rent by the power of Almighty God, representing that it was time for the church to go forward. Hallelujah. Amen. It is said that that veil was so strong that two teams of oxen pulling in opposite directions could not tear it apart. Yet suddenly when Jesus was on the cross, that veil ripped supernaturally from the top to the bottom as the priests were preparing the evening sacrifice. I believe it was because the true sacrifice, the Lamb of God, had offered himself on the cross. Historical accounts tell about how the priest got the veil and they tried to sew it back together. They tried to mend what had been ripped. They tried to put what God had torn apart back together again, but there was no thread, there was no cord that would hold it together. It was rent once and for all, forever, by the work of Jesus Christ in taking our sins away and opening his presence if we'll follow the plan of salvation. I've come to preach to somebody today that you don't have to go to the temple. Today you don't have to bring a blood sacrifice. Today you don't have to wash in the laver of water. You don't have to go into the holy place and then once a year go into the Holy of Holies. But through the plan of salvation, God has made a way that through repentance and baptism and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can enter into the very presence of God and you can be filled with his Spirit. You don't have to do it just one day a year, but you can do it every day. You ought to do it every day. You ought to have the power of God every day in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing to know that in a moment's time, I can get into his presence. I can find an altar anywhere I'm at and say, "Lord, I need you." And his Spirit touches and moves and works in us. Praise the Lord. Within the veil of the Holy of Holies and the curtains of the tabernacle, God told Moses in Exodus 26:31, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made." Cherubim were woven into the curtains by skilled craftsmen. The curtains were made of fine twine linen with deep purple and blue and scarlet threads that were woven together in such a way that the combination of those various colors and that fabric, it produced the figures of cherubim. Our knowledge of these cherubim is somewhat limited. We don't know all about why God chose this particular image for such an important purpose. But it seems that the cherubim are angelic heavenly beings who live in God's presence. Much like the seraphim that Isaiah described in the throne room, since they were forbidden to create any image of God, it's believed that, well, the closest they could get was the image of the things that are closest to God. And so these angelic creatures called cherubim were woven into the fabric there that created the tabernacle walls and the veil between the holy place and the most holy place. We see cherubim first mentioned in Genesis as God drove them out of the Garden of Eden, and he placed cherubim there and a flaming sword that turned in every direction to guard the tree of life. There were two cherubim on the mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant. They faced each other and they looked toward the mercy seat as their wings were stretched over it. And in between them, God said, "There will I meet with thee and will commune with thee." In all the descriptions that are given, the cherubim seem to have somewhat of a human form, but with other animal forms combined: the lion, the ox, the eagle. An old Jewish proverb states, "Four are highest in the world: the lion among wild beasts, the ox among tame cattle, the eagle among birds, and man among all creatures. But God is supreme over all." And so in these four forms, it exhibits the highest of all of God's creation, over which he is exalted above anything. And so it could be that a cherubim looked like a creature with a form representing all of these. What did they symbolize? They symbolized the celestial throne of God. They were all throughout the design of the tabernacle and the temple, and it was a sign that those things that had been built with man's hands were a symbolic representation of God's heavenly dwelling place. It is said that as the priests were ministering there in the sanctuary, they could look up. And even though the curtains were covered on the outside by goat's hair, but from the inside, the priest could look up and they could see there the designs of the cherubim in the ceiling of the sanctuary, reminding them that it represented something heavenly. When they looked at what must have been an absolutely beautiful veil, as they were standing there before the table of showbread, and as they were ministering at the altar of incense before God, and they were very aware that that veil represented something supernatural. And those cherubim woven into it, they were a daily reminder that this is God's heavenly dwelling place. The cherubim were a reminder of heaven. It was a heavenly veil. When the high priest entered through that veil one time each year on the Day of Atonement, that was as close as any person could get in the presence of God at that point. At that point. But God was calling them forward. God was calling them forward. 2 years ago, when we began the Mission in Motion, we preached that there was an open door set before this church and that God was calling us forward. And many of you that were here, those of you that were here at that time, we came forward and we nailed our commitments to that open door, symbolizing that we're stepping forward through the opening that God has given us. Today I want to preach to you, God is still calling us forward. There is a reminder in the veil. There's a reminder in the cherubim that were masterfully woven into the veil. There is a call ever forward. God always calls forward. God doesn't get hung up in the past. God doesn't get hung up on our failures. God doesn't get hung up on our mistakes. God doesn't get hung up on what we might have done yesterday. But he says, I've got something greater for you, and I want you to step forward. Praise the Lord. Today we are going to come at the end of the service and we're going to bring our commitments for the mission in motion. And we're going to attach them to this curtain representing the veil today. And I know that these are just earthly things, but it's not just an earthly thing. I believe today that our commitments represent something that's heavenly. We're attaching what we can do in an earthly sense to what God is going to do in a supernatural sense. And we're going to believe today by faith that in God's mercy and that in God's love for us and in his love for the city of Springfield and the surrounding area, that he is going to take us beyond the veil. That he is going to take us forward. That he is going to take us from an earthly place, a natural place, into a supernatural realm where his spirit moves and his power works. And then next week we are going to come and we're going to believe that God is going, as we bring a sacrificial offering next week, and we're going to actually put that sacrificial offering into an altar that we have built, somewhat representing the altar in the Old Testament. And we're going to bring our sacrificial offering next week and we're going to place it in that altar. And we're going to believe that in that service next week, God is going to take us beyond the natural into a heavenly realm, and that there's going to be healings and miracles and deliverance as God confirms his word. Today, I want to tell you, God is calling us ever forward. He has more in store for you. He has more in store for each and every one of us. He wants to bless your life. He wants to use you to be a mighty vessel in his kingdom. We don't know all the revival that God has planned for this church. We don't know everything God has in store for us. We can't even imagine all of the souls that God wants to reach through us. And if we could see it today, it would probably blow our minds. We probably wouldn't even believe it, because it's above all that we could ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. But I believe we can catch a little glimpse today. And we're going to attach our faith. We're going to attach our commitment to that heavenly hope that there's something greater than the earthly. There's something more than just the natural. And there is a heavenly hope that we are clinging to. Is anybody here today? Your hope is beyond the earthly. Your hope is beyond the natural. It's beyond what we can see with the human eye. It's beyond the veil. It's beyond what we can do in our flesh. It's beyond what we understand in our natural minds. I believe there's going to be some commitments made today. There's going to be a decision that's made in the natural that's going to affect the supernatural. Amen. We might physically write these commitments on a card made out of paper, but in faith, we're going to attach these to something before God that I believe is going to have an effect beyond this earth. And I believe that God says, you do what you can do, and then you watch me do what I can do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I want to tell you today, this commitment, it is truly about souls. As we look at the great need that is before us, we know there's no way that we can reach all of the souls of this city without a supernatural intervention by God. It is going to take the supernatural. But on the other hand, God partners with human beings to do his work. In Exodus, he gave Moses the plan. He lined it out specifically. Here's what I want you to do. But he told them, then he said, I want you to give an offering. He said, of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. We're not going to put pressure on anybody to give a certain amount. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to give willingly with our hearts. These commitments are not going to be made public. We're not going to hound you if you miss your commitment. It needs to be what God directs us to give. It may be small, it may be large, but every one of us can do something. It's not about equal giving, but it is about equal sacrifice. And if God has provided us with the ability to give, we need to give as God has blessed us. We're all in this together. Would you stand with me today? I want the musicians to come. And I'm going to have Brother Brill and Brother Wiggins are going to assist us. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to ask them to sing, and I'm going to give them a little time to sing, and if you've not had time to fill out your commitment card, we're going to give you time to do that here. And then we're going to bring these forward, realizing that this is something we're doing in the natural that's connecting us to a spiritual work that God wants to do. Praise the Lord. We're asking that each family unit would make your commitment, that you'd come forward as a family. Our ushers are ready to help us if there's some here that you're not able to come up the stairs, or if you're elderly and you need some assistance, we will assist you. And the ushers can bring it forward, and then Brother Brill and Brother Wiggins will attach that for you by faith. I want my family to come up here with me right now, if they would come. I don't want to ask you to do something that I am not willing to do myself. So, we didn't get our family meeting done early in the week. It was late last night. And we even had Kendon over at the house. He got to participate in a little bit of the family meeting. And so I just went down and I said, okay, here's what Mom and me are going to do. Kids, what can you do in these six areas? We came up with an idea. There were some things they all thought of. Well, I could sell that, and I could give that. I don't use that. We thought of a fundraiser that we could do. We're going to raise some money. Then there's some monthly giving. There were some offerings. Each of the kids said they had a certain amount. Some of them, it was more than the others, but they're going to give in that sacrificial offering next week. So we totaled it all up. It's amazing what this and that can do over 18 months. It's exciting to see, hey, that's making a difference. So today, family, I want y'all to come help me. We're going to attach this to this curtain today, and this is something we're doing in the natural, but we're believing that God's going to see this spiritually. There's another part that talks about miraculous provision on this card. And I want to tell you, my faith is bigger than what we're able to do right now. We prayed and we asked the Lord for a miracle. If that miracle comes through, there's some miraculous provision that I will know, God, you made a way for this, and there's another amount that's greater than anything that we could do right now, but I put it down by faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're making some commitments today in the flesh. But I believe that this has spiritual significance. And I believe God sees beyond this veil or this moment in time. And I believe that God's saying, you do what you can right now, and then you watch me do what you can't do. So family, I want y'all to help me. Boys, why don't y'all help here? I wonder if we could pray right now. I wonder if we could bind together. We're not asking you to give a certain amount. We're asking you to give as God would lead you. But I wonder if we can bind together right now and say, God, we want to do this for your glory, for your kingdom. You get all the glory. You get all the praise, God. But use it. Use it for your work. Lord, we thank you for this great church. We thank you for these great people. Lord, faithful people. Lord, faithful saints that love your work. And God, when I think of what some have sacrificed for your work, God, my heart goes out to them. And I know that you see it, Lord. And so we're making a commitment today in the natural. But God, I pray that you would see this from a heavenly place. And I pray that you will let there be a connection today made by faith. Lord, as we make this commitment to you, and I pray, God, that you would use it for your kingdom and your work. And I pray that you would multiply it, Lord. I pray that you would take what we can give, what we offer, this offering to you, and I pray that you would multiply it. Lord, I pray that you would not let it return void, but I pray that you would multiply it for your use, that you would receive the glory and the honor and the praise, and that your kingdom and your church could go forward. In Jesus' name, God, I believe there's some miraculous provision that's on the way. And so we make some of these commitments by faith, knowing, Lord, that this is beyond where we're at, but we're believing that if you would provide, God, we're going to commit that amount to you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm going to ask the music team to begin to sing. And then as you have those commitments ready, I want you to come forward and come forward as a family. And if you need any assistance, the ushers are there to serve you. And Brother Wiggins and Brother Brill, I want you to come and help us. And we're going to attach these commitments to this curtain, to this veil today, realizing that it's just in the natural. But we're believing we're connecting in the spiritual today. In Jesus' name, would you come?
What a moment you have brought me to, such freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yes. Lord, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead, here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my